There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And John tells us that Nick came at night. Night's not just a time of day in John's gospel, it's a symbolic word. Nicodemus has come to Jesus out of the darkness, into the presence of the light of the world. Nick comes out of the dark, but he wants to control the conversation. And as is too often the case with me and maybe you, he comes to Jesus with his answers and not his questions. My daughters call this mansplaining. And they point it out to me regularly sometimes with a problem of an uncomfortable situation. They take charge. They tell others what to do or how it works. And they try to avoid vulnerability by splaining instead of listening. Nick, who is really clueless, that is, he's in the dark, leads with his splain. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for nobody can do these great things that you do unless God is with him. Well, it's funny, but sometimes you say more than you knew that you said, because Nicodemus is being polite. He's trying to take control. He means to identify Jesus as a great spiritual leader, maybe even prophet. But in fact, Jesus is the teacher who has come from God. He is the one who has come from heaven, the Word become flesh. In the prologue, John chapter 1 tells us, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart. That is used by the gospel writers to have people say things with double meanings. And Nick says all the right words. He says what is true, as we often do in church. But he doesn't know what he really means. Sometimes, maybe too often, they're just filling up the space. Without waiting for more half-understood answers, Jesus pulls the rug out from under Nicodemus by telling a riddle. He already knows what Nick is looking for. The missing question that's on Nick's heart, the one that he should have asked instead of giving his answers first, was the same question asked in Matthew, Mark, and Luke by the rich young ruler. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And perhaps this conversation with Nicodemus is, in fact, John's way of retelling that story of the rich young ruler. But in John's counters, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's helpful to understand that with John, there are two words for life. One of them is zoe, which is animal life, and the other is bios, in which you get biology, which for John is God's life living through us. It is eternal life. Zoe is life which begins in the animal's desire to survive and propagate and carry forth the gene pool. But there's more to being human than being that animal. There's a deeper level of life. For example, being joyful is different from happiness. Happiness comes when we feel secure, we belong, our physical needs are met. But joy comes as a gift, flowing out of creation itself. Joy comes despite outer circumstances of life. If you have everything and you still feel empty, it's because zoe, human animal life, the human beings were created to live in the image of God, Christ the Word. And it's the new life which is in communion with God. It is Jesus, the Word, who became flesh and pitched a tent, shows us and teaches us what bios, eternal life, looks like. So Jesus speaks authoritatively to Nicodemus. Amen, amen, I tell you. And when he says amen, amen, or he's speaking as if God would speak, not as a prophet who says, thus saith the Lord, not as a teacher who just says, but this is divine revelation. Jesus says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they be born anothen, which means both again. And a good riddle requires that we break free from old ways of being and come at the problem from a new angle. And if I was as techno with it as I should be, I'd have a riddle up there for you to look at. Maybe like the one that says, let me see if I can remember it. This thing is greater than God. This thing is more evil than the devil. This thing is what a poor person has. This thing is what a rich person needs. This thing, if you eat it, what is it? Well, you work on that for a while. Riddles are actually solved by a different part of the brain. That is, and we take the information in on one side of our brain, but the answers to the it's somewhere else. And you have to jump out of one side and into the other in order to get to it. And Jesus is trying to make a leap to a new way of being. We're so enmeshed in the Zoe life, in our animal life. It may be the only life we've ever known. Maybe once in a while in church or on a retreat or in life, in the life of someone, we might have seen a glimpse of it. But remember, the church is an institution committed to propping up things the way they are. So too often the church is exactly a representation of Zoe life. But there are moments, and I come every Sunday hoping for one, when the kingdom of God breaks through, when it reveals a different level of life. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born anothen. You cannot see what God's doing in the world unless you have a different kind of eyes. Of course, Nick totally misunderstands Jesus. Get his mind around it. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can you enter into your womb, the mother's womb, a second time and try it again? In the old way of doing the church, they lifted up the best Zoe animal life possible. They tried to be the best people they could be. It was a human-centered life lived out of love for God. The life that begins at birth, you go to Sunday school, you rebel as a youth, you settle down, you bring your kids to church, you live the best moral life you can, you settle down, you do the best. Young ruler, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. And the young man said, "Teacher, I have done all of these things since I was a kid." And Jesus loved him for how much he cared and how hard he was trying to love God. And Jesus said, what did he say? "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was shocked. And he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. In another place, Jesus says, "Amen, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Now, how are we supposed to pull that off? These are all riddles meant to bring us to the same place. What we often give Jesus, that is, we are living our lives the best we can. We go to church as often as we can because we should. We pray at night. We go to the food bank or the homeless shelter on weekends and when we can fit it in our schedule. We have never committed adultery or stolen too often or blamed someone else falsely. We do all the Ten Commandments stuff, mostly. We give generously from what we can afford. We're good church members. We even go to church. This is Zoe, animal life, lived at its best. This is what we expect of people who join the church. But the rich young man and Nick at night go to the bottom line. You must be born again. When I was in college, the campus crusaders came by with a little pamphlet. I don't know whether you ever saw one called The Four Spiritual Laws. On the front page it says, do you want to end up in heaven or hell? Well, if you want to go to heaven, turn to page 2, of course. Page 2 says, we're all sinners separated from God. Turn to page 3. Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, your sins will be forgiven and you'll go to heaven. Page 4. Do you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Remember this little, read this little statement over and sign it in the bottom line, and now you're born again. Well, here are the next things to do. Well, even then I knew that being born again was not quite that simple. John 1, 10 to 13 is helpful. It says, Jesus was in the world. The world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him, as we often do. Who faith, and the NRSV translate the Greek word pistoue as believe, all who believe in his name. But you know, when I hear the word believe, I automatically think of propositions. How many things do I have to believe before breakfast? If you believe the right 10 things about Jesus, you're okay. You've signed your name on the line, you're doing fine. But pistoue is better read as a verb, faith, with the emphasis on doing and being. But to all who received him and who faithed his name, in his name. And what he means by in his name is that Jesus' true identity and purpose is lived out. To all who faithed, who trusted and invested in his true purpose, God gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, that's the human need to reproduce, but of the will of human, but of the will of God. In our passage, Jesus repeats the same idea. Amen, amen, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and breath. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born anothen, from above. Now, don't be confused by the words flesh and spirit. We're not describing a dualism. The church often gets confused by dualism. You know, we could be spiritual beings or we could be fleshy beings. In fact, we never get beyond our own. The passage doesn't say that our flesh is bad. Body stuff is not unimportant. We do not need to put down our bodies or their desires. Jesus is staying here instead from our animal DNA and evolutionary history. God made that life, and God saw that all that she made was good, very good. Saw the animal, saw the flesh, and said it was good. But there's spirit life, which flows from the life of Jesus, from the heart of God, in part. Spirit life is about how the flesh life is focused and directed, in part from whom and where it draws. The word for spirit and breath are just the same. Just as oxygen animates the human animal life, so God's breath animates eternal life. So how can we be born again? Well, first thing, I cannot mansplain you into understanding eternal life. Wouldn't matter how long I talked up here, it won't do any good. Remember learning to ride a bike? It was scary and painful if, like me, you crashed a lot in the process before you finally got it. You know, you have to get going fast enough so that the momentum of the wheels makes balancing easy. And there's a moment when you take over and you're riding a bike. Once you've experienced that, you never forget it, I hope. You can try to explain it to your child, how the bike riding works, but it doesn't happen by thinking. It can only happen by trusting and pedaling and then feeling it in your whole self. Does that make sense to you? Power, and it is flowing through all of creation. It's like the sun that shines even above the clouds and even at night. It fills the space between the atoms. We live and we move and we have our being justice. That means that the Spirit is never just Jesus and me. It is always Jesus and us. Jesus and me connected to creation. Jesus loving them. There is nothing in all of creation, nothing in your past, nothing in your future that can separate you from this love of God in Jesus experienced in the Spirit. Jesus meant it when he said, God so loved the world. And that includes you. And it includes all those, even the strangers, that you would rather not know. Being born anothen is, we know this is not in our heads, but also in our being, like bike riding or like floating. Sometimes we might experience this presence. Most times we have to faith it. That is, we have to trust it. Knowing it is like a seismic shift in perception. It's like when your eyes are focused on a spot on the window that you're trying to clean, and then suddenly you look through the windows, beautiful mountains. Being in the Spirit places us beyond our fears, beyond our sin, beyond our race and sex and nationality, beyond our egos, beyond our death. It is all about us, and it is not about us at all. In the Spirit, a wise woman once said, all will be well, and all will be well. Of course, all is not well. We continue to face problems with ourselves and with others. We are located in race and sex and nation, and these are important. We remain in Zoe life, in the flesh, which God says is good. But we also see the speck on the window and the mountains beyond our living, beyond it, at the same time. This is the best I can do to explain it, that we are both in the flesh, in the problems, and also living in the words of St. Paul. Being born anothen is sunbathing. It's soaking in the light of this knowing that there is beyond. Our human minds are so distractible, we're chronically ADD when it comes to God. Practicing being in the Spirit and putting all that we love in the Spirit makes eternal life in us possible. Our attention and limited minds are the only thing that stands between us and God. And that's why we worship, and that's why we try to stand in the presence of the Spirit that fills all things. Being born anothen is also letting the Spirit flow through us to others. We are the light of the world. Christians do not own the Spirit. All creation is awash in it. Other faiths experience it. But is it a particular storyline and shape? The Jesus story is about the least of our brothers and sisters. It's about community in which every life is precious. Is it about shared wealth and shared gifts? You can read the Jesus story yourself and you can fill in the blanks. The word will take a particular shape in your life. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The prophet said, what does the Lord require of you? Well, you know what it is. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Being born anothen is taking on this Jesus shape into our living. And this takes work. We have to remember who we are, and we need to decide regularly in the pressure of packed moments of our lives how we shall live it out. We need to keep growing in our understanding of what loving means. It's tough work. It takes a lifetime. Now, I'm still in first grade when it comes to learn to practicing these things. It's okay. I still got, 5 or 6 years left? 10 years? I don't know. I might figure it out. When Mike came to Jesus by night, it's said that he carved his own face on Nick. We all come to him by night. Nick's face is our face. And we again hear the riddle see the kingdom of God without being born anothen. Amen.